Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:47 Central African Time, at that time of the morning where we join our very own Councillor Ahmed Parak on his segment called Straight Talk. Straight Talk, listen to over quite a few million people around the world already like to listen to what's happening on Straight Talk. Ahmed Parak, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Ahmed? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful Sunday morning. Allah has blessed us with another fine day, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, fine day indeed. I want to know from you, Ahmed, when last did you go to the botanical gardens or the Japanese garden or the Mitchell's Plains garden or the Mitchell Park? You know, when we are 90s, we used to love going to all these places. What happened to those days, Ahmed?
Shafar, I did a few months ago that, you know, because I'm involved with the community service and parks and gardens, so I had the liberty to go with the officials to some of these gardens and go and see some of these soccer fields that is Durban and surrounding that I was to see how the condition and all. Alhamdulillah, so I was fortunate to see because I'm in that committee of parks and gardens, Shafar.
Allah, you don't leave your soccer fields, you don't leave your gardens, and are lovely. You know, how's the gardens, how's the grasses doing, and how's everything? Are they ship-shaped? Are they not like any other, you know, ill-shaped things in Durban? Because it seems everything is a pear-shaped. But how's the gardens and how the parks are, Ahmed?
Shabbat, as far as the botanical gardens are concerned, the gardens are in tip-top condition. Yes, the soccer fields, yes, it does need some doing up in terms of, you know, years ago that what we used to have, they used to have soccer season, cricket season, and they used to take the gold mouth out and they used to put top soil and service the soccer fields. But nowadays, they are not doing that. So that is the problem that we are faced with. But other than that, you know, it is a playing field. What they are just filling the holes. Because over the years, you know, what happens is when you're playing soccer, you kick the ground with the boots. And then eventually that hole becomes bigger. And these things need to be filled up. We had Idra at the grounds here in Essenwood Park. I had to bring like 2 truckloads of sand to fill that ground up because there was, you know, uneven, so we won't be able to put our carpets there. So I had to do it with our own expense and get sponsors to come and put up sand there so that we'll be able to put our carpets and all that. We were fortunate that, you know, one brother, he was in the building industry. He managed to give us 2 loads of sand that we got our own team to go and fill it up. But it was a council problem to assist us in terms of having the ground filled up and all. But I was shocked. And then when I went and spoke to guys that were training on that ground, you know, how are you all playing soccer here? Because you are bound to get hurt and you are bound to injure yourself in a field like that. I've never seen a soccer field in that bad condition. So, but anyway, we brought it to the attention of Parks and Garden. I think now they are going to see to it. You know, obviously our hands are stretched at the moment, so therefore there's no funding. That is the problem that we're facing some of our soccer fields, Shafar.
Now you talk about the soccer fields are having being in a bad condition. Hey, forget the soccer fields. Our national roads are in a bad condition. They've got potholes all over. And I wonder if they got dongas in the soccer field. That's another story altogether. And all these things happening. Talking about the gardens, talking about how well they are kept. The graveyards and the kabristans in general, you know, our kabristans, we generally have our, the taking good care of the graveyard. And it's always in tip-top condition. Is it still the same, Ahmed? And, you know, this is paid for by the Muslim community, especially if the Kabristan is under the auspices of the IBC, Ahmed?
Shabbat, the best thing that we did in 2001 is to take away the cemetery from the Itigwini municipality and run it ourselves. And if we didn't do that, today we should have been a major problem and we couldn't have never look after the cemetery like how we are look after it. And that is the best thing that we have done to make sure that we took it away from them and we are running it ourselves. Go and see the non-Muslim cemetery within the Ethiopian municipality and you will see it is pathetic. You go to Brooks 3 cemetery, I give you one scenario. Go to Brooks 3 cemetery, look at our section and look at the non-Muslim section, the Christian section and the whites are there. It is in a mess. And ours, if you go in there, you will see how clean and how neat it is being looked after, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, you know, I remember when we were like this, if you went to a Kabristan, we used to take our own spades, our buckets, and, you know, we should go and trim everything. And this was something that was inculcated in us as young men, Ahmad, you know, to make qadr of the deceased and, you know, to pray for them. And some of them ritually went every week to the Kabristan. And, you know, the youngsters of today, do they have that connection with the, you know, with the Kabristan, going and remembering that, you know, one day we'll have to get into the Kabr? Or do we need to motivate them and to conscientize them, Ahmad?
Shabbat, today youngsters, they don't do all that. You know, they will not even go when there's, you know, the father, uncle, sister, auntie, they don't even go near the Kabristan there where you take the sand with the three handful sand and you put it into the grave to say, you know what, read the dua and you put it there. They don't even do that. They'll stand 1 mile away from where the Kabr is. It's not right. And in fact, I think this is where the parents need to come in and explain them that, you know, one day you also have to go and the people will do the same thing to you as well. So this is a big problem that we are faced with today. But we were fortunate that the Orient Old Club, they come to us on an annual basis and they tell to us that they want to go and clean up a cemetery, and then they bring the whole team there and then they go and clean up the graves at Brook Street and other cemeteries and all that. So it is, you know, at least the Orient old boys agree something about the Kabristan, Shabbat.
You know, I'm amazed that you talk about the Orient Old Boys. I know they even every Ramadan, they give out hampers and that, you know, you get the AK Lokas, your connection, Yusuf Lokas, and all these different, you know, people all getting together, the Ranris and all of them. And, you know, sending away hampers to different organizations. I didn't know that they even have the whole group going and cleaning up Kabristan. So, you know, give us a typical example. What they do, you know, when they're cleaning up the Kabristan, do they take lawn mowers or grass cutters with them, or they're taking spades, buckets, or what? What do they actually do, Ahmad?
Shafar, normally what they do it on normally at a Saturday afternoon, like 2 to 4. What they do, they bring a whole lot of youngsters with some of the elders there who are the members of the Orient Old Boys. They come there, we give them spades, we give them rakes, we give them brooms, we give them wheelbarrows. So, you know, they normally weed the cover there, they clean up the driveway, the walkways, they clean all that up. And some of them will say, okay, we will put this hose there, they can put water on the covers. So that's what they do. But relatively, the Kabristan is actually clean. So they just do, they assist in terms of, you know, sometimes our staff, they cannot clean every single cupboard. They will see that cupboard need attention, maybe need lifting up or take some weeds out, need some plants there from, you know, they can bring the plants over the wind, rain. It has to be replanted or whatever it is. They do that type of work. They come and do, Shabbat.
Yeah, what's the membership like with the Orient Old Boys Old Club? I mean, you remember there was an Orient Club at Orient Hills in the Isipingo Hills or nearby. You know, opposite there's an area called Orient, and there was that Orient Club. Is that club still running, or is it gone, or they gave it to someone, or is it still there, Ahmad?
Shabbat, I'm not sure what happened to the club. At that time in the 70s and 80s, you know, it was one of the elite clubs in the Durban and surrounding. You know, a lot of our elders who are no longer in the Dunya, they used to go there. They used to have like a Wednesday or Friday evening. They all used to have to get together, and they had a swimming pool, and it was, you know, in immaculate condition. Far as that is concerned, I'm not sure what happened with that. Far as the membership of Orient Old Boys, I cannot tell you that, you know, my very learned friend, Zain Fakhruddin, might be able to give us the actual numbers, or what's his name, Imran Bobat, might be able to give us the actual numbers, what is the roll call on the Orient Old Boys.
Well, I can see the newsman already sitting on his desk. Okay, newsman, you got 2 minutes to go. In 2 minutes, Ahmed, there's a question on the screen. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. I would like to join the Orient Club if I want to clean the Kabristan. I'd like to bring my nephews to the Kabristan and also a few of other family members and help you clean. What must I do, Ahmed?
Shabbat, the easiest and the best way is to get hold of Islamic Burial Council, speak to Salim Qazi, the chairman, and you will be able to assist via our team as well, because you'll need rakes, spades, and you'll need some of the equipment, and they will be able to join them. They will give them a time, like 2 to 4, 2 to 1 hour, depending on how much hour, what the time duration they want to spend. Some of them, most of them say they want to spend 2 hours. Some might just say, you know what, I'm bringing a family together. They want to spend 1 hour. They will be able to make the provision for them, Shafat.
Hey, I'm looking at another question here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. You make me happy when I listen to you. When is Audien giving the next hamper? I want now.
But
radio is a hot thing. Tell me, when they give me.
Shabbat, normally they give once a year. I think it in Ramzan they do their distribution, but I'm not sure. They got their own system. Maybe they have assisting throughout the year too. I'm not sure, Shabbat.
Hey, Ahmed. People look at you as a, you know what? It's such a good thing when people look at you. They look at you as someone positive, and you say, you know what? Ahmed is going to help. This man is like a hope. How you feel about that, Ahmed?
Shafad, my day, on an every day at my office, I get anything from 10 to 15, sometimes more. People phone, just rock up at the office. They know where my office is, in Gain Street. They rock up there. They, some of them, you know, I'm in a meeting, but they'll still wait there and they say, you know what, this is the paper we got. This is what we got. We got our house is going to get repossessed. This is the problem we face. We'll see what best you can do. And I make 1-2 phone calls and I'll defend that matter, take it with our legal team. We got some good friends around me who will be doing some work. I tell them from the very outset, I've got a little case here. They haven't got any money or anything. Please assist them. Do the best. And then we make some provisions to save the house, save the car, whatever we can do. One good I do, Allah will do 10 good for me, Shafat.
I mean, Ahmed, you're always doing good, and I really enjoy you. People, you can hear when the questions are being told or being read to Ahmed. I mean, he's smiling about the whole thing, you know, not getting uppity. Yes, you know what, alhamdulillah. But, you know, each individual, you don't know what they're going through, but they take the time to give us the message. Ahmed, what caught your eye? I mean, Pakistan really, I saw some footage on some of those horrendous, collapsing and mudslides, and you know what, cars going into the water, people with the structures going into the water. Really shocking, Ahmed. I don't know if you saw those footages.
Yes, Shafad, I've seen these. They have already lost about just over 1,000 lives at the moment. There's huge devastation. They were flooding at the moment. There's about 950 homes have been very, very badly affected. So Allah make it easy for those brothers and sisters in Pakistan, Shafad.
The burning Jojo tanks there in Tongat. Hal, why don't you get some of the Jojo tanks and give it to me, Ahmed? I can collect some water this end, man. But anyway, I think this is a culture in South Africa. You'll have to burn to get the attention of the authorities, which is rather sad, Ahmed. Talk to us.
It was very sad that, you know, these are the Jojo tanks the community donated to them. But, you know, to burn those Jojo tanks, in fact, we brought it up in yesterday's meeting as well, that, you know, don't burn those Jojo tanks, because that's those tanks you need for them to come and fill their water. And, you know, sometimes their anger gets better of them, you know. So this is what happened in that place, because, you know, those Jojo tanks were empty, and people, you know, Shafat, you know, when you don't have water for the full entire week, and you have to wait thinking it's going to come today, tomorrow, and the water does not come, and that anger, it is, you know, it's unbearable. If you go there on the ground, in fact, you know what we should be doing, Shafat? We need to do a live broadcast from Tongat, and I'll put it together, and Shafat, you will see the amount of tears that come out from the people there about water, then only you will realize that, you know what, we must make Allah's lakh shukr. And you say, you know what, we have got water. Look at those people. Jet is coming to almost 5 months now, absolutely no water. And then our hands were tied at the Itigwini municipality because we didn't have enough tankers to service those people in Tongat and various. You know, you've got 111 wards in the city. Lots of them don't have water. So what can you do with 39 tankers? We manage on Friday to take a decision at council level. We are buying 59 brand spanking new tankers, which should be in the next week or so. So that will ease the problem. But, you know, you're looking at 10.5 million for these tankers. And this is what's going to have an effect on us. And we worked out that if you hire them in the end, it's going to cost us more than owning the vehicle. So what we did was we moved. And then it was passed on our Friday's council meeting that we are going to get 59 new tankers coming into the city. So that will ease the problem a little bit for us. And we are also, you know, Buffaldale Masjid, we have already did the collection. We're just waiting for a little bit more funds coming through. And inshallah, we'll be able to give them a 10-ton truck with two Jojos, which will be kept at the Buffaldale Masjid. And then we'll do the filling up with the municipality, the water, and assist the community from our side. That's the best we could do, Shafat.
I'm looking at the message on the screen. Tawfiq says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat and Ahmed Padak. Top show indeed. I was told recently by a friend of mine that works at the municipality that half those that drive municipal vehicles do not have proper licenses, or they have bought their licenses. And that's why you get all these vehicles breaking down, because they don't even know how to drive it. Just give them a vehicle for half an hour and the clutch plate and the pressure plate and the whole vehicle is ruined. Ahmed, how true is that? Is Tawfiq onto something?
Shafat, there's two questions in that. One, whether the driver has got license, the guy is employed by Itigwini municipality. Yes, they got a screening process where you have to have license, otherwise you cannot drive. So that is the one issue. The other issue is the vehicles are not serviced. It's not the problem with the driver or anything. Maybe occasionally you'll find the driver is speeding and all that. But other than that, the vehicles, if you don't service your vehicles, if you don't maintain your reservoirs, you don't maintain your electricity department, your power station, this is the problem that you will face with. It'll break. And these vehicles are on the road. Like at the moment, we need those vehicles 24/7 on the road. And these vehicles break, and there's no replacements for it or anything like that. And we have put a stop for outsourcing vehicles to bring into the city because it's costing us too much of money. So that is the problem we are faced with.
Another question on the screen. Anonymous brother says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Padak. Recently, my lighty's brand new car. I don't want to give you the name of the car, but his brand new car's rim got dented in a pothole. I want to know who I must report it to, because insurance refuses to pay because they say it wasn't covered. So can I claim from the Itigwini, and how do I claim from them, Ahmed?
Shafat, the brother is right there. His insurance will not pay because of the rim. But he can claim. There is a precedent already being set that in terms of our legislation, yes, some of them who sued the Itigwini municipality, and providing he's got the proper invoicing and everything, we need to address it to this city manager, and you want to take photos of the place where the pothole was that he damaged his rim, and how many rims were damaged. And when he put new rims in his vehicle, he needs a proper invoice, and you need to take photograph of where the potholes are, the area, and you got to put the proper street name and send it to the city manager and to the speaker, and then they'll have to take it up. I think the municipal is covered in terms of insurance in that. I know over the years there was a precedent set that we went to court and a person won that case because of being not negligent of the city, but because of non-maintenance of non-service deliveries for the road to be done up.
Another question on the screen. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I'd like to stay anonymous for obvious reasons. I know for a fact that there are certain building contractors that do have the municipality in their back pocket. They're building for many people, but you can see that these buildings are all illegal. Some are encroaching the road, and some are building buildings that are really made of substandard material. I've got footage, Ahmed. Can I report it to you, or who should I report this to? Because I know this is not the right thing to do, to build illegally. But these people are compromising not only our community, but they're compromising the lives of the future generation. Ahmed, how do you respond to that?
Two things he can do, Shafat. Firstly, he can report it now. The new city manager is put in place as of Friday. You can send it to Musa, the new city manager, MUSA, send it to the new city manager, and then also forward it to me as well, and then I can take it up with we will do an investigation, obviously, first, and make sure everything is in place, and then we will also can put it in the agenda of the municipality and bring it before the full council, and we want answers from the council why it was the encroaching on the bylaws of the municipality in terms of building rights, and then we can take it up and then we can give this brother some answers from the council.
Now, Ahmed, what happens if someone built, say, maybe 25 years ago, and they made all those illegal buildings and they have huge flats and so forth? What happens in that case, Ahmed?
Shafat, if he has done anything illegal and he hasn't drawn the plans or anything, he still has got the right to put the plans in place now. Or if the municipal inspectors pick it up and you have put up this building without proper plans and all, they can make you bring it down. That's what we can do.
And what about if you built flats and you've been collecting rent for the past 15, 20 years, but those were illegal structures? What happens then? Do you have to pay all that rent that you collected to the municipality?
What you'll have to do is the rental goes to the owner, but we will charge you the rates over the years and we'll charge you a penalty.
Yeah, so Ahmed, I mean, how many people you know that, you know, had done illegal things, but they came up to you and said, hey, Ahmed, before I get caught, man, make a plan, Ahmed. You know what, I want to make everything clean. So you may be helping a lot of people, Ahmed.
A lot of people has come through to me because now we have got a dome system. You don't have to, we don't even have to send the inspector to Shafat Ahmed Khan, a resident in Indica Road in Springo Beach. We can pick it up with a dome, exactly how many bedroom you got, the square meterage of your premises, and we get it. We got a, what we call an ERF number. We got all the information on you. And if you put one wall illegally, we will send the inspector there. We said, you know what? You say, no, you think it's in the backyard and you brought the cement and everything and got that wall done up. It's in the backyard. But we picked it up. You want to know who spied me, whether my neighbor spied me or who reported me to the council. But we picked it up from the door.
Yeah. For me, Ahmed, I got you there. You can tell, hey, Shafa doesn't build anything. He's got a jungle. He's feeding all those monkeys there. And they're breaking his gutter every day. But he still tolerates a monkey because he tells the monkeys, hey, I took your land, Ahmed.
Yeah, Shafat, you know what? If you do anything illegal nowadays, you are going to get caught, Shafat.
Yeah, the monkeys are a witness. I don't do anything illegal. Plenty monkeys around. Looking at this question, it says, Ahmed Parak, Jazakallah Khair for being very helpful. I want to know from you here in Chatsworth, we're still in a bad way. No one does anything for us. They think we live in Chatsworth, that we do not deserve anything. Please, Ahmed, come and talk to the people of Chatsworth. They'd like to hear from you.
Shabbat, the people in Chatsworth, we have got a one of our members we have already installed there. His name is Desmond, who is working very, very hard in Chatsworth, number one. We are also working with Muhammad Mubarak in Chatsworth, who is one of a very, very good activist in Chatsworth. He's got the Civic Association. He's the head of the Civic Association. And we're bringing all the ratepayers under the one umbrella body, especially Chatsworth Clinic and all the other area. We want to form a very, very solid civic association throughout the city. And then once we have got that done, then we will go and bring up more pressing issues, roads, sanitation, water, to the council and ask them. Because once you have got cloud behind you and you've got the masses behind you, then we're talking with voice and we've got the power behind us. And that's when we can beat them to anything. So I'll give you one example. You know, we had problem. The bargaining council used to give us major issue problems in the clothing industry. We have then formed, which I was the brainchild, we formed the United Clothing and Textile Association. I brought 430 factories under the one umbrella body, like how I did Islamic Burial Council. I brought 39 Muslim burial organizations under one umbrella body. And we talked from, now we're talking with a voice where we got so many people behind us, 430 clothing manufacturers. We took them to court and so far we won every single court case right up to constitutional court, because now we've got the numbers behind us. We've got 430 factories with 54,000 workers behind us. And when we went to court and we walloped them, they brought the best of the best advocates. We had the numbers behind us. The same thing what we are doing now with Mohammed Mubarak in Chatsworth, where we're forming that civic association. It's going to be very, very strong because you've got so many units in Chatsworth and Phoenix. We will be able to bring them in one umbrella body, and then we want to take the council on. We say, there's the numbers we got here, and then they'll listen to us because we, you know, that way they will have to listen to us. We're reading from the same page, same line, Yashapat.
Well, thank you, Ahmed. You're well connected, and Allah has blessed you. You've got connections in the Muslim community. And you know who talks like that? George Bush. Hey, you're Muslim. Hey, you must come and meet this Muslim here. His name is Ahmed Parak, Councillor Ahmed Parak. He's connected. Also, you know, you knew Rupert well. You know, the Ruperts are very well. You have spoken to them. You must have had a cup of tea with them. Talk to us about the Ruperts, Ahmed.
You know, Rupert, I've met them many years ago, but, you know, not in a on a one-to-one. I was invited for a dinner, and then there was all these top Rakis where they, you know, the Rupert, the Ackermans, and all the top, this thing, Whitey Basson, you know, the president of Checkers and all that. Fortunately, I've been, with the help of Allah, your people, duas, that, you know what, sometime I get invited to these people and all that. You put your five-piece suit on, put your tie and go there, and you can sit down and listen. And you pick up one or two good things from there, and you make contact with some of the people around you. And that's how the game is today, Shafat.
Look at the message here. Ghulam says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmed, you really talk the talk. And I want to know that Orient Club was only the big boys of the Muslim community, those that used to wheel and deal and make the big decisions when it came to the community. And that was the Orient Club, the special club they call them. But then also there was the Yale group. I don't know if they're still in existence. And there was this other group that used to meet quite often at the Durban Country Club. These were people that were the who's who of the Muslim society. How are they today? Or are most of them in the qabr, Ahmed? How do you respond to Ghulam there, Ahmed?
Most of them, I think, in the qabristan, Allah give them Jannatul Firdaus. Those are our pioneers. Orient Club, I think, doesn't exist anymore. Yale Club doesn't exist anymore. Somebody bought that whole property and converted it into halls and everything else there, because I went for a function recently there. So the Yale Club is not there. I think the Yale Club boys, and you know, the Yale Club had two components. One was the youngsters. They used to meet on a Friday, and the elders used to meet on a Saturday or Saturday evenings normally. So that club is non-functional at the moment. And in fact, our Grey Street chairperson, Mr. A.B. Mohammed, was one of the pioneers in the Yale Club at that time.
Yeah, I remember a lot of my friends went and gave lectures there for this group. They used to identify someone, come and give talk there. And yeah, some of them I know now, they are listening to us, but they wouldn't want me to mention the names. Looking at this question, it says, Ahmed Parak, Alhamdulillah, we do have many masajids in the Durban and surrounding areas. Some of them are not in good conditions. Whose job is it to keep them in mint condition? Is it the trustees of these masjids, or must it be the municipality? Please inform us, because we've got some money. We want to help refurbish the outside of these masjids, especially in Durban.
Shafat, it is not the municipal responsibility to look after the masjid, madrasa, or any Islamic institution. That's number one. If it's to do with anything on the outside boundary of the masjid, it is the responsibility of the municipality. But anything within our boundary on the inside or anything like that where you need the masjid needs painting on the outside and all, it is the trustees and the community need to get together and sort it out. That's how it's supposed to be done. In some cases, you know, some trustees will say, no, you're not allowed to do it or anything, but go and talk to them. Because when your Allah's house is not in good state, go and talk to them and tell them, you know what, we're putting a few people together and we are prepared to paint the whole outside or the inside and do the roof or whatever has to be done, it has to be done. And I don't think the trustees will refuse in that because it needs to be done. That's what we say. But on the municipal front, there is no issue in terms of the council have to do it. One thing I can bring to the listeners' attention is if you see any masjid, if the paperwork is right or if the paperwork has not been done, they can come through to me. I will show them how to do the paperwork and we can bring them rates and tax zero rated, meaning that you don't have to pay rates on that premises where the masjid is because you will come under zero rate because you're not allowed, there's a concession for religious sites that you don't pay any rate. Churches don't pay rates, masjids don't pay rates, we don't pay rates. And I've been fortunately in the last 7 or 8 months since I'm in council, I have applied for many masjids and put the paperwork in place where we formed a non-profit company and we brought an NPO number, did all the paperwork for them, and then we made the application to the council to say, you know what, this is a council, this thing, there's the constitution. Now, over the years, if they paid for 5 years or 7 years or something, we'll try and get a credit for them, and then that credit can be used up for the light account and the water account or anything like that. But the rates, it is zero rated.
You talk about zero rated, and I, you know, find a lot of people come and ask me the question, say, hey, but Chef, you know what, I'm a pensioner now. I think pensioner is at the age of 60 or 60 plus, and they say, but are we still being charged normal rates on our property? Why don't the municipality automatically, you know, give them a rebate because of the age? I mean, surely they can pick that up, the age of the property owner on the computer systems, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, rates and taxes work on the value of your properties. So, you know what, and I've been telling this over and over to all our community in various talks I've been giving, that what happened in the last 2 years now, because the municipality and the council do not have money, if you see, in fact, you need to see your rates and tax as well, Shafat. You will see there that 2021-22, you were paying your house, of your property was valued at, say, 2.5 million. Now you got the new rate assessment. You will see that my property is worth 3.2 million. When you see that thing from 2.5 to 3.2, you will tell your wife and your family and all that, see, my house is now worth 3.2 million. But if you have to put it on the open market, you know you're not going to get even 2.6 or 2.7 for your house, yet the municipal value, they valued your house at 3.2 million. Now they're charging you rates no more at 2.5, they're charging you on 3.2 million. So that's when you should be objecting. The objection period was the 30th of June. Most of them have not objected, and a whole lot of them come to me up till today. I'm doing an average objection per day, maybe 15, 20, I don't know, sometimes more, is assisting them. What you have to do then, you have to pay 650 rand for late objection because you have already missed the deadline, 30th of June. Pay that 650 and ask the council, listen here, I have been paying. My property is not, the value has not gone up. The market is down at the moment. How can you put my property from 2.5 to 3.2 million? So object to that, and then they'll come before the objection board, and then they will revert that issue. Because if you don't do it, now you're paying on 3.2 million because And how many of these people do object? Now, you know, every 10 rand, if we got in our database, we got 16 million registered ratepayers. So first you take 10 rand, times that by 16 million, how much you getting for Mahala for free? Because nobody ever objected to that.
Absolutely, Ahmed. Brilliant indeed. Ibrahim says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I did have visitors from Joburg the other week and I took them to the Blue Lagoon. Ahmed, what a sad story. What a bad story, Ahmed. The stink was just unbearable and dead fish all over. I couldn't even take them to Springer Beach. It was the same story. I don't know what's going on. Who do we blame, Ahmed? Surely the blame stops at the ANC and your municipality. Please, Ahmed, help the people. You're killing the ocean and you're killing the people. Ahmed, how do you respond to Ibrahim?
Shafat, as far as the beaches are concerned, from the 1st of April, when we had the major rain that came through and we had a major flooding in the whole of KZN. Then we had subsequently another flooding came through a month later. So that have wiped out everything. Our whole sewage system and everything is completely damaged. When I say damaged, it is really, really damaged. To fix this whole infrastructure, even if you give us, we got 55 billion that came in the 1st of July. It's not enough because we have already a backlog to catch up. So whatever came in, we are only catching up with the backlog. People are not paying the rates and tax in time. People are not paying the electricity in time. We got something like 20 billion in debt that people owe us that they haven't paid the light account, they haven't paid the rates, they haven't paid the sewage account or everything, the water account. 20 billion. This is the first time the city had to go and borrow money from Nedbank. Can you believe it? This was the second best city in the world. Now we went like beggars to go and take an overdraft from Nedbank. We used to own Carlton Center in Gauteng. One of the blue chip hotels in Gauteng, we used to own that. How many properties in the last year we had to sell just to make sure that we have got enough money to service this whole entire city? This is the problem that we are faced with. There's nothing, nobody can do anything. But as far as the water is concerned, there was a clip that was going through that you cannot drink because of this, you need to boil the water. The water is no problem. As far as the water we buy from the Amgeni Reservoir, that water is 100%. You can drink it. You're not going to get diarrhea. You're not going to get sick or anything. But you go to the beach, you're going to get sick because there you have got problems there. All those fish have died. There's a whole chemical that was blown up from some industry had gone into the beach. Now, obviously, beach water, you know, it with the waves coming in and out and all that, eventually it'll get cleaned up, but it'll take time. But for now, we have lost a lot of fish. Some of the fish, you know, some fishermen were telling me, you know what, we were battling for a whole day, whole night, we passing there to catch one nice fish. Look at the big, big fishes on the shore. It's all dead now. We couldn't even catch those fishes.
Absolutely sad, and a lot of people coming with those dead fish and selling it to people. So be careful, Ahmed. Absolutely brilliant. Perhaps your parting words this morning,
Shafat. I don't think our community need to lose hope. This city, we will get it right. 2024 is around the corner. Action SA is. We are taking the government on. In every sector, we are objecting. We want to make a change in this. We will be the second biggest party in the country. If some of the brothers, sisters want to get hold of me, they can get me. You know, I've always said we will give our number so that, you know, a lot of people phone me after hours and ask me, you know what, I didn't want to come on air, but please assist us in this matter or that matter. My cell number is 082. 966674, or you can my cell number and my WhatsApp number is the same. Send me a WhatsApp. I'll attend to your matter privately, and we can discuss it. And wherever I can help you with the help of Allah, I'll be able to assist you. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To Ahmed Barak, Counselor Ahmed Barak, the man that walks the talk.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.